back, WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively no longer in Baltimore County, even Baltimore City. We're in Harford County. We are in Falston. We're at the local Elevated Comfort Food. I feel elevated. I'm very comfortable, and I had some great food. I had the chicken sando off the lunch menu, the award-winning sandwich. We're giving away the scratch-offs from the Maryland Lottery up here, Instant Lottery. The 50th anniversary underway. Wednesday's a big day. Like, they're giving away all sorts of dough. But we'll be doing this next couple weeks. We're going to be out at Spirits West. We're going to be at Shannon's. Obviously, back at Pappas and Glen Burnie. Also, at Costa soon for my 25th anniversary at NST. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90 Nation. You know, I could have used a hat like this when I first met this guy. Jay Ellenby is here. He is the president of all things Safe Harbors Travel. If you have been with me a long time, and I mean like a long time, right? Like we're going back. I've been on the air 31 years. I want to say you were on the air with me within the first 18 to 24 months. We moved into the hotel downtown at the Lord Baltimore.
That's
correct?
Right. That's right. The Lord Baltimore, downtown Baltimore.
Well, I've been knowing you a long time. Uh-huh. How did you get to Bel Air? I mean, you did my first ever. People say road trips, and my wife and I did road trips for years. My son, even before my wife was around, the first ever real road trip. The first time I ever considered, hey, you can go on the road with the Orioles. This is after we didn't have the Colts anymore.
Yeah.
1992-93, Camden Yards opens. Everybody's got, it kind of reminds us of 2023, right? Everybody's got pennant fever, right? And Jay strolls into my room 318 right over the alley at the Lord Baltimore Hotel down on Baltimore Street. And you came in and you said, I have a travel agency. We're going to take fans to Fort Lauderdale to party like where the boys are, right? Like we're going to find a Ned Funicello, I think is what we talked about. That's how long ago it was. How are you, man? You're still traveling,
great.
Right?
Yeah, still traveling. It's great to see you. It's good to run into you again about a month ago.
And we're networking, and like, why have I not seen you in 20 years?
It's been a long time, and it's been a long time. You know, you think about it, when I first moved to this area, it was 1990, and you know, the company had already been in place since 1985, and my brother started.
So when I met you, you lived in Bel Air.
I've always lived in Bel Air. Yeah, since 1990.
Okay. You're one of those people who made the commute all the way to the city
made the
every
commute.
Day.
I made the commute downtown.
For a long period of your life.
Yeah, and the company at that time was on South Street. And yeah, there's a story behind that. I'm sure what they're going to talk about.
It's like a Randstad office now, right? Wasn't after that?
It's gone through a couple different companies.
Well, your place is great because it was right across the street from Nick the Greek's Town and Country Diner.
Yes.
Which became the Maywan Kebab, which is right next to Uncle Lee's.
That's right.
So Nick the Greek made me breakfast every Friday morning. Yeah. We had donuts there, and he made me potatoes, and he made it a bean soup. You come back later for the bean soup. He had the best bean soup on
Thursdays.
Earth.
I think that was on Thursdays.
Fridays. Thursday was split pig.
Okay.
Friday was the day we would get our paychecks down at the Sun.
Uh-huh.
So we would get off of work about 6 in the morning, and we would walk down to Nick the Greek's, walk through the block. All right, this is back when this is when the block was legitimate. All right, so we would walk down there, Pleasure Palace, and you know, but we would go get sandwiches, and we would walk back at 8 o'clock when the lady who paid us would show up for work on Friday and hand us our paychecks. This is before direct deposit. It was me and Mike Marlowe, but your office like literally faced Nick the Greek's Town and Country Diner.
It was on the corner south of Water Street.
It's Baltimore Positive,
absolutely.
Right?
We were there for just over 10 years.
Hell, tell them who will.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. And then we moved over to the Can Company, which was an amazing place.
Now, so that was a big incubator and experiment.
Yeah.
My first website was built over in the Can Company.
Yeah.
They had the Austin City Grill underneath
That's
there, right?
Right? Yep.
That became my Arepa place with Irena, with the delicious Venezuelan food.
Yeah.
But
and Spike and Charlie's. Spike and Charlie's was there as well. The Atlantic Restaurant.
Then after that, the family came in. Langerman's after that.
Right.
Ray Lewis's. Oh, the Full Moon.
The barbecue.
Oh, it's the best barbecue of my life. Oh, Jay Ellenby's here. He's a Bel Airian who is a Baltimorean who once had a travel business that we did business with 3 decades ago, and I guess business left Baltimore to some degree, and it was okay for you to move your business up this way, right?
Well, you know, this is how it all changed. The industry changed so much is that everything went electronic. I remember the days when we were downtown Baltimore, we're running tickets all over to our clients in downtown Baltimore, going up and down the World Trade Center building, USF&G, buddy, scrambling everywhere. We had people just delivering tickets everywhere. Along came technology. Next thing you know, boom, we're doing electronic tickets.
Right.
We didn't have to do that anymore. And so we really did not need to be downtown Baltimore. Downtown, so then we moved to the can company, and it all worked out great there.
That was a big experiment, though, for the city.
It was a great experiment. Yeah, Bill Struver, hats off to him.
Right,
he did an amazing job with that whole property, the whole complex,
amongst other places. Yeah, I was going to say, let's give Bill some credit. Right?
I mean, I can remember driving by that place. It was falling down. It was dilapidated.
Wasn't the diner from Barry Levinson's diner that down on the wharf there? That area had the Fells Point Diner, right?
Yes.
It was down at the edge of...
Yeah, yeah.
Man, I'm from Dundalk, and I've said this out loud, and I would tell Pete Carinci, we would chase the girls in Highland Town, but we didn't chase the girls in Canton. I mean, not in the 80s. No. So I never went down. There was nothing... It's like my mother said, there's nothing down there for you.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, but that's literally the can company became at the end of
sort
of the wharf that now has $1 million homes,
that's
right?
That's right. You're right.
Nobody would think about it that way.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Bill Struver went down there and saw it before it was anything, right?
I remember driving by in there and seeing this building falling down, thinking, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? And then next thing you know, there's a sign up there that says Struver Brothers.
It was literally a can company.
Yeah.
It was a big factory.
It really was.
Giant.
And so we were one of the first to go in there. We were one of the first to go, actually, first of three. DAP went in there first.
Oh, we got a rent break. I saw the DAP, right? And R2I went in there, right?
That's right. That's right. I remember when we first moved in there, I don't know if you remember, there was a tank. There was like a water tank.
I do.
In front of that.
It was such a uniquely weird building.
It was very strange.
It was like walking into a museum, like a maritime museum or like a modern museum, right? A little bit.
So that water tank, they removed the whole metal. They removed all that. So in there was just a bottom shell. We pulled up one about a month before we were getting ready to move in, and there are kids playing in the water in this thing. I said, this can't be good.
It can't
be good,
but
welcome to the neighborhood. So here we are.
Oh, boy. Jay Ellenby's here. I hope those kids are still with us. But Imagination was in there.
They were in there. Absolutely.
There you go. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So shout out to those guys. From the travel perspective, and I'm going to give you a hard time, but you came to me about sports travel
right.
in 1992-93.
Sure.
And I want to say to you, other than me getting in my car and driving to see Warren Moon play in Pittsburgh or whatever, that was sports travel to me, right?
Yeah.
In the 80s and 90s, sports travel, or that I would have ever... I took over 14,000 people on road trips.
Wow.
14,000. There's nowhere I go in a city where there's not one person that comes up to me and says, I went on your trip to whatever.
Right.
So much that was inspired by you, but I have such a travel Jones. You know what I mean? You came to me, I'm young, and I'm like, Florida, let's go to Florida. Sure, baseball, Florida, spring training, the games don't even care.
Right.
And you know, all I could think about was Motley Crue wrote about the dollhouse in Fort Lauderdale. So Fort Lauderdale in 1993, I'm 24 years old.
Right.
You come in, you're 24 years old, mae at the time, right?
Maybe a year.
But you were a recurring guest on my radio show, one of the early Baltimore Positive guests in 1992, 93, 94. Mm-hmm. We put those trips together. That was like U.S. Air out of Charlotte.
Yeah.
And you had seat 15E and... The industry itself has come so far, and the pricing, and just, I was online this morning. I booked a trip to Florida this morning, literally, Southwest would have said, hold on, and boom, you do it. In the old days, like, it was 800. How have you adjusted? Like, what's the modern way
do
it? I know how I do it, and no offense to you, but we did it a different way 30 years ago,
absolutely.
Right?
Everything's changed. The whole industry, it's changed 100%. And you think about everything we did back then, you know, you had the paper tickets, as I already mentioned, that you didn't have the internet as much when it came to travel. And so we've had to reinvent ourselves probably since then almost every year and trying to figure out how to make this thing work.
Almost like AM
maybe,
radio.
Yeah. So we've had to reinvent ourselves to the point, okay, what is it we offer? So today, we don't do this sports travel anymore. We cut that out because we need to focus on one thing. That was corporate travel. It's business travel. And so that's where we focused on that, and we made sure that we were going to be the best in doing that. So that's been our focus. Where what we offer is not just selling tickets, but what we offer is managing travel programs for our corporations. So that's where we excel in. So that's how we had to pivot to really make this thing work.
So what would someone use you for? What sure. do people use you for then?
Sure. Well, let's say, for example, what happens? A company comes to us and says, yes, we want to work with you. We put an agreement in place. And what we do is we get an understanding how their travel works. So they do a lot of international, do a lot of domestic. We'll put online booking systems in place. So that's part of the technology package we offer. We put online booking where we put a system, if you call it, maybe similar to Expedia, but it's managed by us. So we can oversee everything that's taking place, making sure they're making their best possible choices by company travel policy, by areas where against their negotiated rates, they get make sure they're getting the best rates. And when things go wrong, yeah, we're there to help them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big difference.
Like, we're there to help.
I'll just be honest. Like, my wife works for a big company, and you know, she gets a special rental car rate, right?
Right.
On a code,
right.
And like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, managing all of that in the modern era and having it all on, you know, on your phone, on an app, boom, 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 boom. But if you're managing a lot of people, I mean, I see, look, I ran so many groups, and people would say it looks like fun to be pulling the coolers for the beer out for the bus trip stuff. And it's not that I don't miss it, but I would give this to you. And literally, I think it's the most recent thing I've tweeted about.
Yeah.
I read about this morning. Did you see that Mark Davis, the Las Vegas Raiders, Al Davis's kid, who owns the Raiders, spoke out against what they've done the last 48 hours at the NFL owners' meetings, which is they flexed Thursday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ravens play in Los Angeles on a Sunday in December or whatever. They can move that game to a Thursday when you and I have 4 days of travel, parties, the things that really have over the last 20 years that I've seen grow, that I've participated in, where I was always worried if I had a bus trip that they would move the game from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Moving the game from Sunday to Thursday is a complete... Mark Davis spoke out about it, and he had some really, really harsh words. I want to read it and get it right, because to me it was at the core of why I don't do this anymore. I said, people ask me why we stopped doing road trips. There were a bunch of reasons that I got out of the sports travel business, but screwing the fans on scheduling, like, to me at the top of the list. Mark Davis said, just make the schedule and play it. He said, absolutely not if he signed on to it. He said, this is abusive to fans. And he said, it's just as much of an inconvenience if a game is flexed in or out of a Thursday night. If you have a Raiders-Chargers game in Las Vegas, his city, right, where he put his team, and you're bringing people in, he said, all the fans driving from L.A., they buy their tickets, they book their hotels. How in the hell do you schedule it and say, no, it's not on Sunday anymore, now it's on Thursday?
Right.
I mean,
you can't.
So, well, they are, but they're doing it.
You're clearly putting the fans second. Clearly.
Putting them not even second, like they're in the back,
way back of the bus. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so being in the sports travel business, and then there's the whole, like, electronic tickets have become... Yeah. A whole different kind of nightmare with the PSLs and holding tickets up and stuff like that.
Sure.
I hats off to Brian, anybody that's doing it at this point.
Sure.
But my markup was not, I wasn't a professional travel agent. I was a local dude trying to have a good time.
Right. Right.
And serve some beer.
Yeah.
You know, and not get sued. You know. So for you, with what we used to do versus where it is now, and the notion of, like, how do you travel when you travel personally?
How do I travel?
Yeah, what do you do? You were a guy that had been all over the world when I met you.
Yeah,
right?
I still am.
You were a guy taking cruises, checking resorts out.
Yeah.
They would call you and say, we're building a new place in Jamaica. Go check it out. Punta Cana wasn't even, like, a thing when I knew you.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing I wanted to add before I leave that is the things that we offer. For example, when I say when people come to us when they have an issue or if there's a problem, they're traveling. Their flights can't get canceled, right? They never get canceled. Every day, every hour. So what happens, somebody's at the airport, they need somebody to call. They need somebody to call, and we answer that. We probably fix it within 15 minutes. Otherwise, they're going to stand in that line, the customer service line, which is what?
That's an insurance
hour?
Policy.
It's that, a great insurance policy. Yeah. It's a great insurance policy. So how do I travel? I work with our company. I work with the professionals and arrange all my travel. Because I know if I get in a bind, which does happen, they're going to fix it. They're
going
to fix it.
Where have you been going? Give me a little travel.
Yeah.
I figure if I'm bringing Jay Allenby by, that you have been someplace more exotic than I. And I've been some pretty exotic places lately. I've been okay lately. So I've been back out on the road again, like REO Speedwagon.
Sure.
After the plague, but the plague killed me, right? I mean, I and my wife's illness and just things that have slowed us down from seeing the world. And I would just say for all the value, sports, life, people, travel is still where I learn the most about myself.
Yeah.
And I learn the most about people.
Yes. Yes, that's what travel does.
Beyond Falston. Falston's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good.
That's what travel does. It educates us about what people are all about, what our world's about. And it's the best thing anybody can do. I just came back from Puerto Rico. I was down in San Juan.
All right.
I was down for a conference down there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful area. People think it's international. It's not international. It's.
Did you see the thing with the guy at the cop? And No, you didn't see that?
About the what?
No. There was a cop who got called out and someone had they were renting a car.
Right.
It was a travel business. They were renting a car.
Yeah.
And their license said Puerto Rico, and the person wanted to see a passport because they said that's not the United States.
Oh, right.
Then the cops showed up and said, no, I need a passport. That's Puerto Rico's not in the United States. And the dude's like, do you idiots have Google?
That's
Can
right.
you just
Google.
Find out? Like that's so,
it's true. It's right. true. People think that. I loved going down there. First of all, the people are fantastic. They're a lot of fun. They're great people down there. It's the same time zone.
Well, they play baseball there.
They play great baseball.
They're my people.
Yeah, they play great baseball. It's a time zone. You don't have to worry about the time zone. It's the same thing as it is here.
See, I've used Florida and Jamaica in that way. I've never been to the Dominican.
Yeah.
Although Chip, God bless Chip, before we lost Chip, would always try to send me to Punta Cana.
Yeah.
At a Towson Travel many, many years ago, because he loved Punta Cana.
Yeah.
I've been to Cancun. I've been to those places, but I did Hawaii for the first time in my life because Southwest started going there. It became affordable in 19. So when the Ravens beat the Seahawks, remember that famous beat Russell Wilson, Lamar, big coming out. It was Lamar's big year.
It was.
We had a bye week the week after. It was Halloween week. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I made a big to-do. And we did Oahu. We did Maui. And I got to Maui and I'm like, what am I not doing here?
Yeah.
You know, how did some Jay Allenby in my life not shake me and say, stop going to Jamaica, stop going to Florida, stay out of Arizona, California.
Yeah.
You don't need to go to Cancun. Go to Maui, dude.
Yeah.
So we finally, 3.5 years later, made it back after the plague.
Yeah.
You know, my hair is long, hers is shorter, so it's fine.
Yeah.
But we went back last month, just kind of snuck out.
Cool.
And I would just say that people need to travel when they can.
Yes, absolutely.
And take
advantage of that time. I'm going to let you know a little secret. And I've been to 49 out of 50 states.
What's the one you haven't been to? North Dakota or something like that?
You just named it.
Hawaii?
Yes. Can you believe that? Of all places. I know.
I can't trust a travel agent in to Hawaii. Why don't you go down here? Leave. Next guest up. Go. What are you
I've been to all of them. I've been to Arkansas. I've been to Alabama.
Hold on.
Alaska.
Are you the travel guy that says, it's too far to fly?
No. I've flown over it a million times. I've flown over it a lot. But it just happened to be that was the case.
Where's your favorite place in the world?
Oh, my gosh.
Because my favorite place in the world is not Maui.
Yeah.
But I would say Maui's my favorite place in America.
Right. Okay.
And I haven't been to Puerto Rico yet. Well,
okay.
I've been to the airport.
Yeah.
It was 30 years ago. But
my favorite place in America is San Diego.
Okay. They're trying to screw
beautiful.
It up. I mean,
they are. It's getting a little wonky right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's my beautiful. It's a beautiful place. Now for family, our favorite place that we go to Switzerland.
Ah, you're a skier?
Yeah.
All right.
But you don't even have to be a skier. Right. You can go in the summertime hiking. Amazing stuff. You know, it's just absolutely little town called Grindelwald. Grindelwald, right out. It's a 3-hour train ride down from
Zurich. I've been to Zurich. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah,
I spent time in Zurich.
Zurich, yes.
I have a friend that lives in Zurich. We drove from there into the Rhineland to Gelsenkirchen for the U.S.-Italy World Cup game in 2006.
Cool. Very cool.
So I had that experience. It's a beautiful part of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Niels, the man who saved my wife's life, is from Germany. So
really?
he lives in the Essen-Witten, Gelsenkirchen area. I said Kaiserslautern. Did I say Gelsenkirchen? I meant Kaiserslautern was in the Rhineland.
Right.
He lives in the Gelsenkirchen area.
Okay.
Dortmund, where Dortmund plays soccer in that area. And so we try to see him once a year.
Mm-hmm.
We did Amsterdam last year and Cologne. You been to Cologne?
I have not.
Cologne's a great town,
I have not.
Man. Get some schnitzel up
That's
here at
right.
the local. Jay Ellaby's here. We're at the local. I'm eating elevated food. And I had the chicken sando. And I'm going to tell Lou tell the folks up here. There's a Royal Farm. I can see the Royal Farm out the window right now. And they're my long-term sponsors. So I felt a little unclean coming in because I could have had the tuna. I could have had, and I'm going to have a crab cake a little later on. But the chicken sando, it came highly recommended. I turned the heat down a little bit, the coleslaw. Boom. So I am very well fed here today at the local. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're giving these. You get the first one. You get number 48.
Hey, look at
Lucky
that.
Lucky for you.
Lucky
That's
me.
It. Was that
all
Rosie
right.
Leaks? I think 48. If we're
number
going back.
Number 48.
I think we're going back into the Colts Wayback Machine. I'll be giving these away today out here at the local in Falston. We'll be doing this all month long. I'll be in Arbutus. I'm going to be in Halethorpe. I'm going to be downtown. I'm going to be in Anne Arundel County. And we're going to be back at Fadley's again next month as well. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. All right, so you gave me Switzerland. Are you not beachy? Are you not like?
Yeah, you know, we're not big beach people.
Oh, okay? See, then I can't
so
trust you with this.
We're not big beach.
That's
people.
Why you don't go to Hawaii.
Yeah. So I would tell you, I love Jamaica. Or better yet, I like Bermuda.
You
Bermuda's my favorite.
Yeah, you and David Bascombe,
yeah,
the Blast.
Bermuda's my favorite.
She's from Bermuda.
It's my favorite. Now,
you've been on the boat that goes to Bermuda?
Yeah, I have done that.
My son's done that.
I have done that, but I'm not a big boat person.
I'm not a boat person.
Yeah, I'm
so
not
we,
a boat person.
We agree with that.
Yeah, we agree.
I would get on a boat.
I did my time in the Navy. I don't need to be on a boat any longer. I know it's not the same thing,
you know,
but
the
I don't need to be on a boat.
You know the boats that everybody thinks that my wife and I want to get on that I don't think we would ever get on? And that is the rock and roll boats.
Right.
You know, where they bring 48 bands
sure,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we go to Freeport or whatever.
Sure.
And I'm like, nah, man.
Yeah.
I'd rather go to M3.
Yeah.
I can't get off the boat.
Yeah.
I loved Batman. God rest his soul. DJ Batman. And he did a cruise every year. And I love him. And I like girls. And I like unlimited booze. And I like. But I get 2 hours into the boat. And I'm down at the Bay Bridge. And I'm like. Let me off at Sandy Point here. You know, I'll catch a cab home. You know, it's not even. I did one cruise in my life. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I've only been on one cruise. True story. I don't think I've told this story because, I don't talk too much about too much personal stuff. And when I go away, I go away. And my wife and I are on a beach.
Yeah.
We're hanging out.
Right.
Eating shaved ice in Hawaii. I don't put pictures up till I get back. I'm 55 now. I don't need all that.
Yeah.
Right. We, for our 20th anniversary is in July. Our 10th anniversary, we did a 7-day cruise out of Papeete in Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
We cruised all the islands there. But our favorite island was, Bora Bora is like just a different.
Yeah.
Bora Bora is like not on this planet.
Right, right.
So I could tell you go to Bora Bora. They call it Boring Boring. We didn't stay there. We stayed on the boat in the harbor and tendered over and did a day thing.
Yep.
There was like the haka going on at the time, the haka championships from the island and the dancing and like all that stuff. But Moorea.
Did you join into that? Did the dance?
You know what? We went during the day when they were rehearsing. We were going to go back for the dinner thing, but we wound up. The boat was so nice, and it was so luxurious, and it was our anniversary, and we had laid on a beach all day, fried, and came back. So we didn't make it to the. We still kick ourselves a little bit because it would have been a hoot. It was, but we were in Bora Bora, and then we went to Moorea, and I did a lot of research on Tahiti. It was like a bucket list place for me. When I knew you, my bucket list was Australia.
Was it? Really?
I was going to get to. I've been to Australia 3 times, but. But the Tahiti trip and Moorea, I would tell you. See, you're not a beach guy. You need me to be a consultant. This is my new job. I'm quitting WNST. I'm going to be a consultant for Safe Harbors with Jay, so we get some real beach action here. But But Moorea is the most beautiful place I've ever been on the planet, on like on Earth.
Yeah.
The most beautiful individual place I've ever been on escape, and I took my wife there. It's a place called Lake Mackenzie, M-A-C-K-E-N-Z-I-E. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's on a little island, a sand island in eastern Australia called Fraser, like Carrie Fraser, the official Fraser Island. It's a completely uninhabited island of sand that only has eco resorts, and it has a 90-mile beach that you take a jeep out on, and you listen to Van Halen at the highest volume possible, and you can't get in the water because of sharks everywhere. You can't, you're not allowed, legally not allowed in the water.
Now, is that by the reef, the Great Barrier Reef?
It is. It's just southwest of the reef. Now, there's an island there as well called Hamilton Island that my wife and I have renamed it. It was like Ricardo Montalban and Tattoo were meeting us on the plane when we landed. And we landed a 747. We landed on a Qantas, you know, like a regular, it might have been a Virgin Australia. We landed on a plane, a regular plane. But it is, it's a state-owned island. And I sent friends there, and they thought it was a little creepy, weird, but they loved it, but it was a little weird. It's like being at Disney, but you're on an island. So everyone there is employed by the state of Australia. Gotcha. Like, so it's a resort island that is small, that has a golf course, and it's an entryway to the reef.
Gotcha.
So everybody there is like going out to the reef that day or whatever, or playing tennis or golf or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's not as Gucci as I make it sound.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't really expensive.
Uh-huh.
I've been to really expensive. This was not real.
Yeah.
Moorea was real expensive.
Yeah.
But this wasn't really expensive.
Yeah.
But it was its own thing. So I've experienced these.
Yeah.
When I say travel, man, like you can only talk to somebody who travels about travel, right?
And it's not just the experience, but it's also the people. So you're experiencing the people there. It's an amazing thing to do.
And their lives and how their lives are different.
Exactly.
People in Moorea sing to you every morning. They have this little, you know, Bula Bula is, that's Fiji. I've been there too.
Right.
But there's a different way in the South Pacific that I think, that's why Jimmy Buffett writes about it. Jimmy Buffett wrote One Particular Harbor about Moorea.
Right.
Who knew when I got there? I'm like, oh, no wonder Jimmy Buffett sat on a hill and wrote a song back here.
Right.
Smoking who knows what, which is about to become legal. Jay Ellenby is here. We are in, we're not in Bel Air. We're in Falston. We're at the local. This Restaurant Association of Maryland, Chef of the Year. Zach's going to be with us bringing his crab cake. Really looking forward to it. I've met so many people from this area. My friends Steve Elliott and Allison, they're like, we can't get a table there. And I'm like, oh, I got to go then, you know. But this, the part of Bel Air for you to move up here 35 years ago, move your business up here, what, 15, 20 years ago, right?
Right.
And what this, the county represents, and I talked to Barry Glassman about this at length a couple weeks ago up at Pappas, places like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I see Hawaiian and Muchika, the local people doing local things.
Yeah.
In a way that maybe 15 years ago, you had to go downtown and go to Ruth's Chris. You had
to,
right?
Yeah.
That's what you had to do when you're on Water Street.
Yeah, there's some great restaurants. Great restaurants coming on out here. And back then, I remember when I first moved here, I remember Chili's, I think, was the only chain restaurant here.
Is that
back in
true?
1990,
that was up in by the mall,
right up there by the mall.
And I camped out at that mall for Journey tickets on the Escape Tour. Yeah, it's true. Me and John Nerwinski, man, we camped out in his Vega. Yeah, it was great. I'm not making that up. That's true. It was blue. It was terrible. Had a really good cassette deck, and I think we wore out some girls in there. You know, it was just some girls on, you know, again and again and again while we camped out for Journey tickets.
Yeah.
But when I drove to Bel Air, the thing that I would laugh about this on the radio in the 90s, I used to make fun of this. Because when I camped out, I guess it was 81, I went on the air in 91.
Yeah.
I knew you in 92, 93.
Yeah.
If you told me you lived in Bel Air in 93, I'd say, you won't believe what happened.
Right.
They sell beer at the 7-Eleven up there.
Right.
That's what I said 40 years ago. And that's what I thought of when I thought of the Harford Mall in 1982.
Yeah.
But man, when you talk about everything that's come this way, probably 60 to 80% of my graduating class, Dundalk 85, lives in Harford County. So, and then I guess the next thing that comes is things like this and business and industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll throw another thing out there. I don't know if you knew, but I'm also president of Visit Hartford. You know, it's, we're about tourism.
Where's that card?
I know. Where is that card?
Are you allowed to take a lottery ticket? I'm not sure. I think.
Oh, I can. I'm not employed by them. I just am president of the board. So it's all good. So
when's a festival and stuff happening up here? What are we doing?
Well, what we have is a big balloon festival taking place out at Cedar Lane. That's in August.
Okay, I knew there was something going on.
So a big balloon festival. So it's a really cool thing. And that's something you definitely want to get tickets
for. I promoted
that
like maybe before the plague. And, like, I haven't heard about it in a couple years.
Right, right. So that's very cool. That's a big thing. Okay. Outside of there, there are a ton of events going on out here. So everybody take a look at visithartford.com. And it's a great thing. So if you're coming out here, you can just pull up on the app. So, okay, what's taking place? Where do I go eat? Where do I go visit? And it's there.
All right. So, look, man, I've talked all this beach with you, Jay Ellenby, and we haven't talked any baseball or any Orioles or any of that.
No.
But during the plague, when March 2020, you know, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, it all hits, and we couldn't travel, right? I didn't go anywhere. I went to that crazy Raven game in Houston that nobody was at.
Yeah.
That spooky Shining game where I sat on the roof when the storm was blowing.
Man.
I'm in a mask. John McClain's 50 feet away.
Yeah.
There's three reporters in the press box. There's medical personnel and players and cameras in an empty dome where I've seen two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So, like, crazy, right, that year. But when we couldn't do anything and there were no concerts, there were no games, there were no bands. My wife loves, like, hiking in the outdoors.
Yeah.
She's got back from Asheville. That's her.
Yeah.
She goes to the mountains. I go to the beach.
Awesome.
It works out cool. But she started looking at the counties, whether it was Howard County, where we went down to Centennial Park, and we walked the circumference of that and got outdoor, whether it was coming up to Gunpowder or up to Harford County.
Yeah.
We wound up finding spaces to just drive to.
Yeah.
Get a snowball, or go to Brooms Bloom, you know, whatever we needed to do to say we're going to do this and that, maybe see a friend, right? Because restaurants weren't even open.
Right.
We had to brown bag it and take it into the woods or whatever.
Yep.
And we were doing things that you're talking about, which is looking for things to do that were outdoor related. And Harford County's like an undiscovered gem when it comes to that.
I mean, there are a ton of trails. There are a ton of trails here, but also then you have the other trails, which you have a snowball trail, you have the libation trail, so you can go to all the breweries.
Beth's already hit me. I came in and saw the independent tap up
here. It's right there. Yeah,
I said, that looks like mother's milk up here in Harford County.
So you really, it's endless.
Well,
it's endless.
Tell everybody how to get in touch with you. Jay Ellenby's our first guest here. Fancy Clancy's going to be here with us today. We're going to have the folks from local. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Window Nation. The hat was a little warm for me. You just do business, right? Like
just do corporate travel.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
That's a niche.
It's exactly it. We wanted to look at something that we're going to be the best at, and that's what we have. That's what we've done. We figured that out. And
tell them how to find you.
Yeah, safeharbors.com.
We're at the Bel Air Mall.
We're not at the mall.
Not mall anymore.
We're at the mall. Yeah, but like right there where Charm City Run is. We're good people there. Charm City Run.
I'm wearing their shoes.
Right there. Are you really?
Man,
look at
tell
that.
Levinson.
He's got the books on.
Yeah, tell Levinson. He sold me these right here, right out of the box, man. So
I can see it. He even has his signature on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Josh Levinson right there.
There you go, man.
Yeah, so we're right there at the corner. But we're not going to wait until we tell our story about when the Ravens first came here, are we? We're going to talk about that. But your bet.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so
I'm not allowed to go to break right just yet. That's right. Clancy got 15 minutes to go. He's at the bar. He got Steady Eddie up there. We'll get Fancy Clancy coming in. We're gonna do it all. He's got his half Oriole, half Raven shirt on, and he's trying to. He's pretending he didn't see me right now. He's looking the other way.
Yep.
So I gotta get my. Take the floor, Jay.
Okay.
Please do.
So now,
because people don't believe this story.
It's a fantastic story. It's one of the best stories. So
I had to show it on my phone recently because it's on my Facebook.
Yeah.
I can show. Okay. Go.
So I'll give the bones of it, the foundation.
Were
of
you
it,
in
and
the studio when I did it?
I was not in the studio, but so here we are. So if you think back about everybody was trying to get a football team. Trying to get a football team back to Baltimore.
That's 93. We had to give Baltimore the ball. We had the Saints Dolphins game.
Yep.
Yes.
And you made a bet. I'll get as fast as I can through this, but you made a bet that if Baltimore got a football team coming to Baltimore, that you would run in your underwear through downtown
Baltimore.
No, I said
Baltimore. I'd run naked.
Did you say naked?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, so what happened was. They gave Charlotte a team.
Right.
Then they gave Jacksonville a team.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you really want to know the truth, because we're talking.
Oh, yeah.
It's just us talking at the local, right? There's nobody listening, right?
Right.
What happened during that period of time is that Stan Charles was sponsored by Coors Light, and was convinced that the St. Louis group was keeping Baltimore out of the league so that they could get back in the league. It was Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch's money that was delaying the vote on the second team. That seed was planted. There was a story in the Baltimore Sun on a Saturday morning, and it was all the bar taps here, and they all had brown paper bags over the Anheuser-Busch products because some bars had signed up to boycott Anheuser-Busch.
Right.
John Dow and George Acton, God bless them. I love both you guys and your daughter too, Kim. No offense to Jamie or any of the other Dow kids. I love them too. But in this particular case, George and John got together and said, we want to sponsor the Budweiser Sports Forum. So that's when I had my first sponsorship.
Yeah, okay.
That happened during that period of time. Jacksonville got the second team.
Right.
So not only was Stan not right, not only was my heart broken at the bar at Bohager's where Damian Bohager and the future Don Richardson, then Don Jones of Dundalk, now married to a Super Bowl champion, gave me a bottle of champagne on ice.
Right.
I sat there at the bar, and I watched Paul Tagliabue give the second expansion team to Jacksonville.
To Jacksonville.
Still an outhouse with good weather. And a pool on the roof. I've been in it. It's a long story. Clancy might have been there that day. I don't know. He did a lot of road trips with us. So I went on the radio, and this is 1994, and I said, and the Orioles are percolating, right? We got the baseball strikes about to happen, right?
I mean,
summer 94, right? I went on the radio, and I said, and I could probably find this. I mean, I have old tapes. I have to think about it. But if I found it, I said, in my squeaky 1993 25-year-old voice, now I'm 55, we ain't never getting a team. We get a team, I'll run naked down Pratt Street. And my sponsors at the time were Hooters and Balls.
Uh-huh.
I used to do the show with an ISDN line. Kept my wife in business, Verizon, back in the 90s. And Tony Marijuana, who's also a Harford County guy. I said I would run from Hooters to Balls, which, for those of you who don't know where Hooters was, the harbor, and where Balls is, which is now the Pratt Street Ale House that is next to the Days Inn. So essentially, I said I would run naked down Pratt Street, six blocks, and over to Hooters. That's how convinced I was that we were never getting a team. And you were convinced we were never getting a team, right?
Everybody was convinced.
This is the part
when they
that I
those
cannot
two
express to these young punks that write to me on the internet that just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like this thing that's going on with me and the Ravens right now where, you know, they're breaking the law and I'm not talking about it. Like the notion that the Ravens would ever exist, this wasn't some radio stunt.
Mm-hmm.
This was like you would have bet whatever was in your wallet.
Right.
You would have bet your company.
Yeah.
You would have bet the watch on your wrist. Whatever. Yeah. You could bet anything you want.
Yeah.
They're never letting us into the league.
When Tagliabue said, when he said Jacksonville, he said Baltimore's better off to get a
museum.
Right?
Maybe they should build a museum. That's what he said to our governor, who was our mayor. Mayor Schaefer famously cried twice. And I'm on the radio doing live radio in 1994, and this is going on.
Yeah.
We're in a baseball strike. Cal Ripken's trying to get paid. We haven't signed any free agents. The old man just bought the team and was lying to everybody about how great it was going to be. And by the way, Peter Principal's Chapter 2 is up now, so I'm going to get the rest of that out. But that was the landscape when I knew you 30 years ago.
Absolutely.
And you had your business downtown.
I did.
And we were running trips to Fort Lauderdale because there was never going to be. Then the Stallions came, right?
Spiros. The Stallions were there for 2 years.
Comes in and does his thing, and O.J. Brigance and all those guys.
Yeah.
But so that happens in 94, 95. I'm at the CFL with Jim Hampson from his travel company. He took us out on a Air Canada flight to Vancouver. Me and Harvey Myers from the Airport Tavern running wild in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, Viviano's on the air reporting, we're going to get a team. And I was in Cleveland at the World Series that week.
Yeah.
So we come back. Literally, went the day that I went, and I saw Paris Glendening the other day at the Preakness. The day that he held up the Browns mug, I went on the radio.
Yeah.
It's the day I met Peter King, famously. And my first phone call was, you're going to run down the street
you're
naked,
going down
right?
The street.
I mean, you're going to run down the street naked, right? You're going to have to, right? I mean, you're going to have to, right? I mean, you said you would for 2 years.
Right.
That we were never getting a team. We got a team. And I'm like, I'm too busy trying to figure out what to do with all my Houston Oilers stuff, you know, and figuring out whether we're going to be called the Browns, the Bengals, the Modells, the Ravens, the Americans, the Mavericks.
Yeah.
We had all these things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't, you know, I ran in my underwear because that was legal. The police told me they'd arrest me. It was to be streaking, and Budweiser discouraged me from, I mean, even the Hooters girls thought I should leave my pants on. So there is a video, and I sort of doubled down on it. Once we decided to do it, I got in shape.
Yeah.
I got a trainer on the air, remember?
Wow.
And I wore tighty whities.
Right.
And we ran. I ran about 4 miles through downtown.
Yeah,
I mean, I was really in shape.
I remember you're running through town with the Hooters girls.
I'm going up.
Yeah.
Charles Street is not flat.
It's
a hill.
Not flat.
It's flat when Levinson's running those trunks down on St. Patrick's Day, because
yeah,
I've seen that. It's all downhill. But
yeah,
if you're running up Charles Street,
yeah,
you're the monument's on the hill.
Yeah.
So you're running up. These Hooters girls were smokers back in the 90s.
Uh-huh.
They're losing.
Uh-huh.
I had like six Hooters girls,
sure,
and me, and I blazed them. I turned the corner at where the morgue is, at President Street, like where, and I think the Scarlet Place was brand new.
Right.
So I ran toward Little Italy. Oh, at Amici's, they gave me water.
Did they really?
That was my water break. It was halfway. And the guys at Amici's are all giving me water. I swear to God, it's true. So I turned the corner, and there was a cabbie. There was no Uber in 1990.
Right.
I think I did that run in, I did it in the spring of 96 or the summer
of 96.
It was May or June,
yeah,
of 96.
Yeah.
It was,
yep,
like that. Once the team was committed,
yeah,
David Modell thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever. He came down.
Oh, he loved it. I remember
he came
that
down to the street to,
yeah,
wave it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He literally waved,
yeah,
at me from the street,
yep,
in his suit and,
yeah,
thing and all,
yep,
that.
Yep.
Cabbie honks the horn. Hey, Nasty, he holds me a $20 bill out the passenger side. I'm running down, I was running down Pratt,
right,
and I get to the corner, and a cabbie hands me 20 bucks.
Yeah.
So we raised a couple,
yeah,
grand for Ed Block.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
know?
Well, I remember
and
that.
And I did not get arrested.
You didn't get arrested.
And I have video evidence.
When you came up, if you remember, my office was first floor.
I went past your office.
Well, I passed it, but you pounded on my windows. You came to our windows, you were like this, spread eagle, pounding on the windows.
I don't remember any of this.
My six-year-old
He's
son.
He's making this up. It's a family establishment here at the local.
My six-year-old son said, Dad, there's Lester.
You brought your kid down to watch me run him on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does your kid remember this?
Yes, he remembers it. I told him about it. He was laughing.
All right. How's your boy doing? Good?
He's doing great, thanks.
He ran Maryland for a minute or two during a Turgeon era.
Yeah, he did. He did. And now he's involved in NIL.
Did he get enough of sports, your kid, or no?
Did he get enough of sports?
Yeah, sports. Yeah, a lot of sports when
you're
working sports.
He's still doing it now. Yeah.
I'm going to add more. What do you know about the NIL? Anything?
It's Wild West. The absolute Wild West. And the way you look at it right now, colleges, if they don't take advantage of it, I heard Gary Williams talk about it.
We were together at that
point.
Yeah,
event. We were.
Yeah.
If you're not taking advantage of it now, you're behind. You are behind. You've got to be in front of it.
And Gary said at some point they're going to put the guardrails in. I'm like, man, you're speaking like an 80-year-old man now.
Yeah.
Who's gonna play God to put the guardrails in?
I don't know.
They can't put the guardrails in on MMA,
yeah,
on boxing, on I mean, the horse racing industry.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah,
at what they're doing to,
yeah,
themselves out there. 5
yeah
days after I went to the press, they got,
right,
my tan from the Preakness. I,
yeah,
love it, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it right now, the NCAA is about the only one that can, but they're getting pushed out. They're getting pushed,
yeah,
out right now. So,
you got,
yeah,
a real fever?
Yeah, I do. Look,
yeah,
at they're doing
it?
Some great stuff.
Who
they're
does
doing great stuff. It's amazing.
Well, I said to Mike Elias, because I met him finally about 8 weeks ago out at a corporate event, and I said, dude, I'm a good guy. I fought to have someone like you here,
yeah,
competent running it.
Right.
That's what I've been fighting for out of this microphone
time.
My whole life.
A long time.
Is,
yes, you
to have.
Have
the game on at the bar here,
yeah,
at the local.
Oh, yeah.
And standing room to get to it because we're playing the Yankees.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Wednesday night Nestor Cortez is pitching. So, you know, I mean, go easy on Nasty Nestor is what I'd say. Jay Allenby's here. He has been going easy on me. I didn't know you were going to bust out the Nasty Naked Run.
Had to. I couldn't leave here without it.
Well, what happened was I'm at this event with Gary Williams, and he starts telling people, hey, this guy ran naked through the streets of Baltimore. And I'm like, hold on. Let me get the video. So I put the video up on Facebook, and there it is.
In the whitey tighties.
It was the 90s.
It was the 90s. It was a 90s
we were all
thing,
doing
right?
It. We were all doing it back then.
Right.
You know, it's fine. Not like Commando like we are now. Jay Allenby can be found at Safe Harbor's Business Travel down on Main Street.
Main Street, Bel Air.
Hey, by
exactly
the way, I wore my Bob Seger and the Silver
there you
Bullet
go
Band.
That fits.
For down on Main Street.
Street.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
So, yeah, all right.
Perfect.
See, people think I'm weird with these belts and stuff. And I am, but like I hold them up, and when I hold them up, people are like, "Hey, they're really cool." I don't want to tell you what the girl's doing on the bullet there, but that will save that for that'll be for after dark. We're at Falston. We're all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Window Nation. We're having a good time up here. Jay Ellenby's been my friend for a long, long time.
Long time.
Long enough to tell stories that you know. I'm proud of that story.
That's a great story.
Shouldn't I be proud of that story?
You should be very proud of it. Absolutely.
I shouldn't run and hide from that.
Yeah, you wanted to make things happen. You've been a driver behind Baltimore Sports for a long, long time, and that was one right there.
If you would have known that day, little six-year-old Sean would have known that he was going to grow up to work in sports media and have Chad Steele take away my press credential after 27 years. It is amazing how much I love Baltimore, love sports, and how weird it all is. But I do love the people coming back into the city. I love that everywhere I go, people are talking baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, my last name's still Aparicio. That means a lot
to
me.
So, that is true.
I've known you a long time.
It's exciting.
It's great to see you, man.
Good to see you,
too. Get to Morea. Go to a beach.
All right.
Mix it up.
I'll go to a beach.
No offense to my friends in Puerto Rico, which is in the United States. Get out a little bit.
We go up to Maine a lot. We go up to Acadia. We do hiking.
The United States of
America. There's a little beach there.
Get your
passport
out.
The water's about 40 degrees there. It's a great place to hop in.
Have you been to Argentina yet?
No.
Have you done Patagonia yet?
I have not. Have done much South America. Yeah. Haven't
done
much down there. All right, let's go. Okay.
I know a guy who has a travel company, right?
You do. We
How
can
long
do.
Would
we can
it take you
it
to book me to Argentina right now? You just text your sit, boom.
10
Next
minutes.
Thing you know.
Less than 10 minutes, we're out.
We're going Delta through Atlanta, boom.
Yeah, we're catching a flight out.
Yep. You and me, Evita Peron tomorrow.
There you go.
Big Malbec and a fat steak, about $8. Jay Ellenby's here encouraging you to travel. Why am I the spokesperson for traveling?
Exactly. I love
You're
it.
The travel
keep,
guy.
Keep talking about it. This is great. Keep talking travel. This is what it's
I'm
all about.
I'm trying to be the freaking
this
Anthony
is what life
Bourdain
is about.
Of Hartford County
and
is
you
what
are.
I'm trying to
I
be.
I think you are now.
All right. We're going
mean,
to get
look at the local.
Listen, I have the Restaurant Association of Maryland Chef of the Year here who prepared me a delicious chicken sando. We're going to have the crab cake. We're at the local. Can't get any. Man, me and the local together, right? It's nothing better than, being local. I've been local 31 years, celebrating 25 years on August 3rd with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. And I can't say that Jay has the winning ticket, but there's a bunch of people out here that are about to get some tickets. Somebody's going to win and be lucky. It's the 50th anniversary of the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Window Nation, if it is still May when you hear this, it is still 0% financing, 5 years, 0%, buy two, get two free. I didn't even get that deal last year, but I have great, great windows that my cat is enjoying watching fox and raccoons and deer and birds of all kinds. Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Make sure you tell them that I sent you in. I'll send you to this place. You got to go behind the Waffle House and around the corner from the Dunkin' Donuts, but it's right across from the Rofo. Come on up to the local. Say hello to the folks up here and take advantage of the delicious cuisine. I'm thirsty all of a sudden.
I think you're making me thirsty and hungry now.
I just said Clancy's here. And when I think of Clancy, all I think of is, and I need to get my old sound effects back like I had in the studio. Remember that? I had the keyboard with the beer.
Yeah.
I will do that for Fancy Clancy Haskett. He's been my friend as long as this guy. Clancy might have been on the street when I ran him under. I don't know. I'm going to find that out. He's been all over the world serving beer, and no one is ready to serve you better than he, and as the Orioles are back in it. So, he's been our beer man for five decades, so we're going to have him next. I'm going to hear Fancy Clancy's story. And we used to have back on the air back in the day, and he had his company that did vending in the stadium, and this man's poured me a lot of beer. I'm not going to lie to you. Fancy Clancy's up next. My thanks to Jay. We're at the local. Stay with us. We are Baltimore Positive. WNST, and we never stop talking, Falston.